Welcome to American Players Theater Portable Prologues. I'm Buzz Kemper, and I invite you to enrich your Play in the Woods experience by joining Orin Schroeder as she speaks with actors Melissa Pereira and Ronald Roman Melendez about APT's 2022 production of The River Bride by Marisela Trevino Horta.
We're taking a look at The River Bride, which is a play by Marisela Trevino Horta. And I have with me today two of the actors who are going to be in the play, Roman Melendez and Melissa Pereira. Ron plays Moises and Melissa plays Helena. This is a new play. It premiered in 2016, and it's part of a trilogy of, the author says, grim Latino fairy tales. And she says that the term grim Latino fairy tales is a play on both Grimm and the Brothers Grimm. Would one of you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. What strikes me about that description is like, right, I mean, the Brothers Grimm, their fairy tales, at least I know when I was a kid and I would consume those stories, there was like the Disney version of it where it's like really nice. And look, Hansel and Gretel, they go off into the woods and they meet and isn't that scary? But when they originally were written, they were cautionary tales for children to protect them from the elements, to protect them from the wild, you know, essentially telling young children, maybe don't venture off into the forest alone, bad things would happen. And so I think in that same vein, what Marisela has written with The River Bride is similarly is a cautionary tale, but I won't say of what. People will have to come and see the play to find out. But in that similar vein of be careful with the world around you and be aware of what's happening and how you relate to it. And so, yeah, it being a grim fairy tale, it's grim in both senses of the word. Right? Grim just as a vocab word and grim as the source of those children's stories. So yeah, it's
and happily we won't have to venture into the woods to see this because it's in the Touchstone.
That's true. The woods adjacent.
Melissa,
you still do have to walk up the hill though.
Exactly.
So you never know what might happen on the walk there. There is actually a great episode on Netflix of this program called Explained, and it has like these 20-minute things that makes you feel like an expert about things when you're really not, you know, which is fine. But that really breaks down fairy tales and talks about just kind of all of this that Marisa is talking about as far as like, you know, the Grimm brothers and where they come from and the danger and the potential when people are trying to make decisions, impressionable people are trying to make decisions. Fairy tale shows those people at a crossroads and whether they're going to, you know, be Little Red Riding Hood and go the one way or the other and what the consequences of each are going to be. And I think what Marisela does beautiful in this play is she gives us that same version, but for adults, and makes us question as adults the same things using the same archetype of these fairy tales. Gives us something to chew on as far as what roads we are going to choose at which points in our lives, and which ones are the ones that we are too afraid to walk down, and why. I think that has been really. As an adult now, impressionable, regardless of my age, on me and my work.
And this particular play in the trilogy is set in the jungles of Brazil on the Amazon River. We were talking about being in the Touchstone. So how is Regina Garcia transforming the Touchstone into the Brazilian jungle? Have you seen anything yet of her set designs or Heidi's costume designs?
Yeah, so Aide's costume design are one of the great things about the world that we're in is that it is a world, as Marisela describes it at the beginning of the play, she writes, in the Amazon, time stands still, as if this river wrapped its long body around it and contracted. The only time here is once. Once upon a time, somewhere between dream, between myth, between the shores of reality and folklore. Like all the old fairy, like all the old ones, this fairy tale will end in tears. Yes, we are in the Brazilian Amazon. Yes, we will honor that, even as I do not share part of Brazilian culture. That is honored within the design of the set. However, it is an elevated reality. It's a fairy tale reality as well. So it will be our job as a teenage artist to not exoticize that particular world while also accurately representing it in a dreamscape of fairy tale that we are trying to represent, right? So I think that, yes, of course, the ambiance will be a big part of this, and the aliveness of nature is with us in a very specific way. I think the set allows us to move freely, which is what you want. I don't know exactly how that speaks to you know, a Brazilian village in the Amazon, how a pier specifically speaks into that. But I do know that we move freely through it. And I do know that it is a respectful homage to what that might look like, as well as an awareness to not exoticize the culture while we try to bring it to Spring Green.
The author is a third generation Mexican-American who trained in poetry. And she said that she found theater a less lonely pursuit. So, Ron, what do you think her poetry background brings to the language of The River Bride?
I mean, her language is the play. It's gorgeous. As we've been rehearsing, we've realized that, I mean, there is not a syllable that's wasted in this script. Her background as a poet exists in every, not just in every word, it exists in every pause, it exists in every punctuation, it exists in every little catch breath that we say in between words. And not only does that inform us as the actors, but it also becomes part of this building of this world that's full of magical realism, and it's full of these, right? We talk about heightened language a lot, and with Epiti, so much classical work, be it Shakespeare, be it other Restoration era plays, that it's not, that's not just an artifice that exists in the classical period and isn't seen anymore. What Marisela has done with this play is she's provided this oral world in which the images that we build, the relationships that are built, it's all about taking care of the words and letting the words do all the work. Like a lot of the work that I've had to do with Moisés and peeling back all of those layers is to not fall into a trap of having to overact the lines, to think too much about, like, oh, how do I fill this with so much detail? All the detail is there. The way that Marisela has crafted the currents and tides of every single one of the characters in this play is just gorgeous. And her background as a poet, like it's palpable. Mm-hmm. It's palpable.
Yeah, I love that, Ron. And I want to give a shout out to Chris Knight, who probably listens to this.
Yes.
Also, but Chris Knight is she does body work with us, with a lot of the actors, and offers us body work for those who can't, like, we may not have that other, you know, somewhere else. Anyway, she offers us that here in Spring Green. And whenever she gets to a part of our bodies, she says, is this important? Is this important? And that has always stuck with me. I think this language is important. It is written to be important. It's not casual, but it's also not so removed from, like Shakespeare can be, from our colloquialisms, that it makes us feel distant from it. It asks us to treat it with importance. And when Chris works on our bodies and is the reason that is important is because it has an effect on me. It makes me breathe differently. It makes me walk differently. And this language does that same thing for me. It makes the characters walk differently. There's something as simple as, there's this line that I keep messing up in the play that I hope when you all come listen and watch the play that I will get it right. But it says, it's something I've grown accustomed to. There are some things that aren't worth fighting over. What I love about that and why I think that the syntax of that is important is because you go from even in something as simple as splitting the word something into two different words and kind of, you know, just twisting it a little bit to take you somewhere else. Also, there's sometimes she uses the word over instead of, I don't know, through or on. And you're like, why is that? So just, I think it is so, again, important to treat this language with the same investigative curiosity that we have studied and performed so many other canonical works. And I think any other old canonical work is blessed to be in company with the words of this poet and this playwright. So it the work itself, the syntax, it's important because it's significant and it has a purpose. As Ron said, every syllable has a purpose. And it's the work I love to do. So I'm blessed by it also.
And Ron, you auditioned for this play quite some time ago. Can you talk about the process of coming to Spring Green and a little bit about your character?
Oh, man, the process of coming to Spring Green, that's a story for a much longer edition. But yeah, I actually found my initial video submission for this play is dated 2018. And that was actually the first time I ever met Melissa. And auditioned. I was in this like little Harry Potter apartment in housing in Virginia, in like the attic of some apartment complex. And I was on a tiny little screen, and I think the computer was set up in the Touchstone. And
You know what? No, we were in Chicago. We were in Chicago auditioning.
You guys were in Chicago? Yeah, auditioning for it so long ago, which I think is also something that has made this production, working on this production so unique and so full, is because so many of us that are a part of it, from the designers to the actors to the director, we've all been waiting for this one for a really long time. And to the degree even that the set was built before everything shut down. And so, right, I mean, in my own, with the way I move through the world, like, that's important to me because, like, that means that the set has been waiting for us for 2 years. It does. I mean, and that wood is a living, breathing thing. So that dock has been there waiting for us to, like, walk those boards. It was built for that specific purpose. And so the process of getting ready to come down here, I mean, Moisés, no amount. I hit a point with him where I was like, all right, I need to stop deciding what this play is because I have an idea as to who this individual is in this play. But if I start making too many assumptions and too many decisions, I'm going to taint how I interact with everybody else's version of what this play is, what it can be, what it could be. This play was the original contract that I would have come to APT for. And then the world happened as it did. I ended up being an improbable fiction, thankfully, instead with Melissa last year. And that was my first foray into getting to know APT. But now, as a Latine artist, as a Puerto Rican who has been in the classical theater for so long, it's the first time in my life that I've been in a room of all Latine artists.
And that's a milestone for APT, isn't it?
Yeah, I
that's
believe
great.
That's
great. The other two plays in the trilogy are set in Mexico and in San Francisco. Obviously, Mexican mythos and Aztec myths for the one set in San Francisco. The playwright says that her plays deal with regret, agency, and empowerment. If you could say briefly how you see those themes in The River Bride.
It is a play about, for me, longing for the thing you were, I don't know, you didn't know you were ready to choose, for the choices you made that you could have made better or differently. It's definitely at the heart of the play, a story about longing for love and longing for your own becoming, whatever that means. So yes, those themes are incredibly present in the weaved through every character differently through the entire story. And I ask for the audience to excuse my vagueness as I try to talk about the play without giving away what the surprise of it. I hope that you get enough from this to be excited by it, but not spoiled by it.
Great. Wonderful. Well, we can't wait to see it in the Touchstone, and thank you so much for bringing this mythical Brazilian world to us on the stage.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Portable Prologues is a co-presentation of American Players Theater, Orange Tree Imports, and Audio for the Arts Recording Studio. Our sincere thanks to the actors and directors who spoke with us, as well as Sarah Young, Hannah Jo Anderson, and everyone at APT. Your host is Oren Schroeder. Our theme song is Play in the Woods, an original composition written by me for use in these podcasts. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.